beginning at verse 1. I believe the reader might be me. Is that right? Yes. Thank you. Okay, just checking. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder. So let's turn to the prophet Isaiah and let's open our ears and our hearts to what God might say to us today. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray for Jane. Father God, we thank you for your servant Jane. We thank you for the way in which you have been speaking to her through the week. And Lord, we pray that you would give us the ability to hear with joy at the good news that we will receive from your word and by your hand. Father, give her clarity, we pray, as she shares the information that you have laid on her heart. And may it encourage us, Lord, and build us up as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Jane.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, while it was still August, I walked into one of the local shops and saw Christmas decorations on the shelves. And I thought, come on, it's not even autumn yet. It's too soon to be thinking about Christmas. Well, you might have felt like that when we heard today's reading, because that passage from Isaiah is usually read, you know, in Advent or at carol services, because it talks about the coming Saviour. But don't worry, as Lee said earlier, we're not starting Advent early. But this reading is going to help us understand the answer to today's catechism question. And the question that we're looking at today is, what sort of Redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? Well, maybe we need to remind ourselves of how we've got to this question. Before the summer break, we were going through the New City Catechism, looking at questions about some of the basic statements of our faith, which help us develop our understanding of who God is and who we are in relation to him. The first 20 questions, the ones we've already done, focused on God. And we worked through his work in creation, the giving of his law, the Ten Commandments, and our inability to keep that law, meaning that we would be subject to God's wrath, punishment, and the eternal separation from him in death. But we also learned that God, in his great love for us, provided the way we can escape that punishment, because God provided a Redeemer to take our sin and die our death so we could be forgiven. Today, we start the next set of questions, which focus on Christ, redemption, grace. So the final question that we looked at back in July was, who is the Redeemer? And the answer to that, the only Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ. So today's question follows on from that. What sort of Redeemer is needed to bring us back to God? And you might think the simple answer is, well, Jesus. So in a way, this question is asking us, what is it about Jesus that made him uniquely able to redeem us from our sin? The Catechism gives the answer, one who is truly human and also truly God. In order to rescue us from sin and restore our relationship with God, the Redeemer had to be one of us, a human person, but also fully God. Jesus is the only one able to meet that requirement. Our reading this morning was a prophecy of the one who would reconcile us to God. That's why that passage is often used in the weeks before Christmas, because it speaks of the birth of the Saviour, Jesus. The book of Isaiah was written at a time when the people were rebelling against God, disobedient to his laws, drifting to follow the gods of the surrounding nations. It warns them of the consequences of their disobedience, that they would face God's judgment and punishment. Isaiah predicted the overthrow of the kingdom and the exile to Babylon, and he called the people to repentance and a return to God. And those warnings from Isaiah, they're still relevant to us now. God will punish sin. But Isaiah also provided hope that God had promised not to abandon his people and ultimately to rescue them. Oh, that could point to the rescue of the Jews from exile in Babylon. But Isaiah's prophecies make it clear that he's also pointing towards a future time when all people would be able to be with God. Chapter 9 that we read this morning starts with the promise of rescue for those in distress. Light shining into dark lives. Freedom for the oppressed and joy for the people. For the Israelites hearing the original message, it would have spoken of the rescue from captivity and from the oppression of their enemies. But Isaiah was speaking to the whole world and to people of all times, telling of the rescue from the oppression of guilt and the darkness of death. Verse 6 tells us that this would be through the birth of a child, a son, the arrival of a human baby, but that this baby would also be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And these are all descriptions that Isaiah used in other places to refer specifically to God. So in verse 28, the Lord Almighty is described as wonderful. In chapter 10, Isaiah refers to God as Mighty God. In chapter 40, he is the Everlasting God. And in chapter 26, it's the Lord who establishes peace. So in using those titles to describe the baby who would be born, Isaiah is telling us that this baby would be God. And the ending of our reading said, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It is God who provides the Saviour that we need. Isaiah's prophecy, written hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus, tells us that it was God's plan to redeem the world through a saviour who would be both human and God. God himself would provide the way we could be rescued from the punishment for our sins. But because of the seriousness of sin, it will need a very special redeemer to rescue us. Now, perhaps we feel that doesn't apply to us. You know, we're not really that bad. We haven't done anything really horrible. Would we really come under God's judgment? Did it really need that much of a saviour? But we've all sinned, because sin is not allowing God to rule over us and be first in our lives. And perhaps now's a good time just to think what sin really is and how it affects us. When we were in Keswick a few weeks ago, I heard sin described like this, and this really sort of just helped me to understand. Sin is like us saying, "Oh, shove off, God. I'm in control, not your way." How often in our decisions are we like that? Every time we choose our way and not God's way. Whenever we don't let God be in control of our thoughts, words, and actions, we sin against him. If we don't acknowledge Jesus as Lord, we are sinning. And every sin becomes a barrier between us and God. And that is why we all need the rescue of the Redeemer. Through faith in Jesus, we receive forgiveness and our relationship with God is restored. But to have faith in Jesus, we need to understand who he truly is. Jesus was fully human, and the Gospels show us that. So we are told in Matthew's Gospel that Mary gave birth to a son who was called Jesus. He was born as a human baby. We learn that Jesus was hungry. And in John's Gospel, when we hear of the death of Lazarus, Jesus wept. We're told that he fell asleep, even in the back of a boat in the middle of a storm. Jesus got tired and dropped off to sleep. And at the crucifixion, the Roman soldiers, who knew what they were talking about, discovered that Jesus was dead. Jesus was born and he died. He felt hungry and tired. He faced temptations and difficulties. He knew joy and sorrow. His family, the people who probably knew him best, didn't understand when Jesus started his ministry, because to them, he was just an ordinary person. Jesus was just like any one of us, except that he was always obedient to God and lived a sinless life. That means that Jesus was able to take our place and pay the price for our sin through his death on the cross. Many people will acknowledge that Jesus existed, that Jesus actually lived. There's historical evidence outside of the Bible for the life of Jesus. Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists recognize Jesus as a prophet or a wise teacher. But all these only think of Jesus as a human, a good person, but not God. Is that how you think of Jesus? A good man whose example and teaching we should follow? Yeah, Jesus might be a good role model, but that wouldn't be enough to rescue us from the consequences of our sin. Jesus was also fully God. He had always been God, and he didn't give up being God to become a man. The Bible refers to him as God, Lord, Word, all titles for the Almighty God. Do you recognize Jesus as God? Sometimes it's easy to think of him like a familiar friend and forget that he's the holy God and Lord over our lives. Although Jesus was fully God, he chose to live on earth as completely human. So he knows what it's like to be us. He's able to understand what we go through and sympathize with us. He knows what it's like to be tempted. But he did not give in to sin. And he lived a perfect life. So he alone could be the sacrifice for the sins of all people. Whatever you're going through today, whatever's happening in your life, whatever we worry about in the world around us, Jesus understands. He knows what it feels like because he has experienced it. And he will not let you go through it alone. More than that, as Almighty God, he's able to carry you in your weakness and be the answer to all your needs. When Jesus was on earth, he was fully man and fully God in one person. And that is who he is forever. Jesus reigns in heaven as fully God, while representing us in his fully human nature. He's not part human and part divine, like some sort of hybrid God-man. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. Now, okay, that might be mind-blowing. Difficult for us to get our brains around. Human minds just can't grasp that sometimes. How can someone have two completely different natures? You know, I can't be a person and a plant at the same time. But the Bible tells us that it is true that God, the Creator, became one of his created beings while still remaining God. And we just have to accept that as the miracle and the mystery that it is. This matters because if Jesus was not fully human, he would not have been able to represent us and die in our place. If he was not fully God, he wouldn't have been able to forgive and save us. Now, the next two catechism questions ask us why our Redeemer must be truly human and truly God. So over the next couple of weeks, Charlie and then Simon are going to be explaining all that, so I don't need to this morning. But it's important that we know that Jesus had to be fully human and fully man. Isaiah's prophecies were of the inevitable punishment due because of our sin. But as we read today, he also spoke of a future hope when all nations would be reconciled to God and to each other. And the verses we read tell us how God would accomplish that. Because of our sin and disobedience to God, we need a Redeemer to bring us back into fellowship with God and the eternal life that is promised to all who belong to him. Jesus is that Redeemer. By identifying with us in our humanness, he's able to represent us. And as God, he's able to accomplish all that was needed to bring about our forgiveness. How should we respond to that? By believing in Jesus as the man who lived and died to take away our sin, and as God, the Lord and King over our lives. By accepting his gift of forgiveness and eternal life, and letting him rule over everything that we do. Only Jesus, as perfect man and perfect God, can be the Redeemer we need to bring us back into fellowship with God our Father, so that we can be with him forever. Amen.